Jesus Moon offering as the fund, and you can give. So if you haven't given, there's your opportunity to give this week. And we want to say thank you so much to those of you who have already given. I know that's going to be a blessing to those missionaries who are serving on the ground around the world. And so today we are reaching the end of the book of Acts. And it's crazy when you think about, we started this back in January when we didn't know about words like quarantine and social distancing and having to wear masks and having to separate our rows here and things like that. We'd never thought that we would have to be preaching in an empty building. But we started this all the way back in January. And so it's been amazing to see how God has worked through this. If you think about it, all the way back at the beginning of Acts, we saw how the church began. On the day of Pentecost, over 3,000 people got saved. On that single day, just from Peter's preaching, the Spirit fell and God changed lives. And then we saw how the Spirit cared for each other or the church cared for each other and served one another. And then we saw how just daily they were going out and they were ministering to people and sharing the gospel. And the Bible says that God was adding to their numbers daily as people believed. And so there was a great and awesome work that God was doing through the Spirit. But we can't miss the fact that there were dark days as well. Even among what God was doing, there were people that were being beaten and persecuted. We saw Stephen and James lose their life for preaching the gospel. And there were many other persecutions and arrests. And we meet Saul, the man who was one of the persecutors of Christians. But then God, who is in the life-changing business, miraculously met him on that road to Damascus and changed his life. And he went from being one of the greatest persecutors of the gospel to one of the greatest preachers. And so in the first half of Acts, we meet Peter and the apostles, and we see all the things that they do. But then about halfway through that, we have this transition to Paul. And so we see how God works through Paul to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. But again, even the amazing things that we saw God do through Paul, we can't miss that he was persecuted. He was arrested and pursued by those who were trying to stop what he was doing. There was even that time where he was beaten and just left for dead. But yet he just got up and went to the next town and preached the gospel. And so now we've seen him on his way to Rome, because the reason he had to go to Rome to begin with was because the Jewish leaders wanted to have him killed. And so he appealed to Caesar to try to stop that. And so now we've seen him on his way to Rome, and he's been shipwrecked, snake bitten, and now he's in house arrest. And so the amazing thing is to see all that God did through Paul, but it's not been easy for Paul. And I think if he had quit, if he had just given up and said, hey, this isn't worth it, I think, honestly, we could look at it and say, I can't really blame him. But we never see Paul give up. We never see Paul quit. We just see him continue to pursue God and to share the gospel and to preach it so that everyone will come to know him. And so that's where we come to today, is the end of Acts. We pick up where Paul is in house arrest, and he's finally made it to Rome, and we see that he just doesn't quit. He doesn't give up. He doesn't reach this point where he says, okay, well, now I'm in house arrest, so there's nothing I can do. No, we see that the gospel and the work of God continues even while Paul is in house arrest. And that's what I want us to see today, is that God has never stopped working through his church. Even when there's trouble, even when there's dark days, God's work continues. And so we reach the end of the book of Acts, and I'm just going to tell you up front, if you don't know how Acts ends, if you like a story that's just tied up with a bow, if you like those Hallmark Christmas stories where everyone just lives happily ever after and you know exactly what happens, you're probably not going to like the end of Acts, because it just kind of ends. Luke doesn't tie this up with a bow. He doesn't tell us exactly what happens to Paul. It just kind of ends with him in house arrest. And I think the reason for that is because Luke is not looking to give us a biography of Paul. He's not trying to give us a biography even of the first church. He's trying to show us what God did through the first church and what he wants to continue to do through the ages, through his people, until Jesus returns. And Luke kind of tells us that at the beginning of Acts. He says, in my first work, which is his gospel, I shared all that Jesus had begun to do. With the, what he's trying to say is now he wants to show what Jesus continues to do through the Spirit. And so what I want us to see today as we wrap up this book is that what God had called Paul to do and what Paul was doing is the very same thing that he continues to call his people, the church, to do today. And so what we're going to see is that the story continues. This is not the end of the story. The story continues through you and through me and through all the believers around the world who share the gospel to further God's kingdom. Lloyd Ogilvie said this. He says, "The abrupt ending leaves us with the challenge and opportunity to allow the Spirit to write the next chapter in the book of Acts today in and through us." And so that's what I want us to see today, is four things that God wants us to do so that the story can continue through us today. So just as a reminder, where we're picking up, Paul has made it to Rome now, and he's in house arrest. And so he is living in this home, and he's essentially a prisoner, but he's in very light custody. He has a soldier that is chained to him. Look at verse 16. Let's remember where we are in verse 16 of Acts 28. It says, "And when we came to Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him." So Paul is a prisoner, essentially, in his house, and the Romans weren't very threatened by him, so they allow him to not be locked up in prison somewhere, but they let him stay in a home, but he has a soldier that's guarded, that's there chained to him, one soldier at a time. And what probably happened is these soldiers probably had about four-hour shifts. So every 4 hours, a new soldier was coming to Paul and changing out. And so what we see is that Paul now, in house arrest, he can't go anywhere, but he has a captive audience. So probably just hour after hour, and until a new one comes, he just preaches the gospel to them. And then when a new one comes, guess what he does? He preaches the gospel to them. And we have reason to believe that that's exactly what he did, because look at what it says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, which is a letter that Paul wrote while he was in house arrest. Here it says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ." So look at that. He says that here's Paul in house arrest, and he's chained to a soldier. He can't go anywhere. And yet he says, you know what? This is a good thing, because this is actually furthering the gospel, because now I can preach it to these soldiers and they're going to go share it throughout the imperial guard. I mean, think about that. Paul did not look at this as a detriment. He didn't look at it as a negative thing. No, he said this is actually a good thing, because it's actually going to further the kingdom of God. And so Paul did not allow his situations and his circumstances to get him down. No, he just continued to be faithful. And so that's what Paul did. He shared the gospel with whoever he could. And so now we see that, again, Paul is in prison, essentially, but he can't go anywhere, but he can have visitors. So what we see today is now he calls the Jewish leaders there in Rome, and he calls them to come to him because he wants to talk to them, but he also wants to hear from them. Because remember, the reason that Paul is in the situation he's in is because all the Jewish leaders that he had been talking to from town to town had been following him and trying to get him arrested and ultimately killed. They wanted to stop him. And so now he's reached Rome, and he wants to know, okay, do these Jewish leaders that are here in Rome, do they know about me? What have they heard about me? And he wants to give his defense of himself to them. So that's what he does. He calls them to his house, and they come to hear him. And so that's where we pick up in verse number 17. Look at what the Bible says. It says, "After 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews, and when they had gathered, he said to them, 'Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. And when they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty, because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain. And they said to him, we have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are, for with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. So here, what we see Paul do is he brings these men in, and he explains to them, hey, this is the situation I'm in. I haven't done anything wrong. And notice the very inclusive language. He says, our people, our nation, us, we, like he's trying to say, hey, I'm right there with you. But notice what they say is they say, well, we haven't heard anything about you. And Paul continues to plead his innocence to them. And they say, well, we haven't heard anything from Judea about you, but we want to hear from you. We want to hear what your beliefs are, because we've heard about the way, and we know that people, the other Jewish people, speak negatively about the way, so we want to hear from you what your beliefs are. And so look at what Paul does in verse 23. It says, and when they had appointed a day for him, they came to him in his lodging in greater numbers, and from morning till evening he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God, and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. So the first thing that we see Paul do here, and it's the very same thing that we need to do today, is number one, we need to be faithful witnesses. We need to be a faithful witness. Because notice Paul, when he has the opportunity to talk to these men, when they say, we want to hear from you, notice what he does. He doesn't talk about himself. He doesn't talk about sports. He doesn't talk about the weather. He doesn't talk about politics. He doesn't just make small talk. What does the Bible say? It says that he opened the Bible, testifying to the kingdom, talking about Jesus. He just shares the gospel with them from the Old Testament. See, these Jewish men, just like Paul, they would have probably had the Old Testament memorized backwards and forwards. They would have known everything that the Old Testament scriptures said. And so Paul opens up those scriptures and he says, hey guys, what you believe or what you think you believe, let me show you how that all points to Jesus. Because Paul was a faithful Jew. And we've talked about this before through this book. Paul was not looking to undermine the Jewish people. And he was not looking to undermine the Jewish faith. He just simply saw that everything that they had been looking forward to was fulfilled in Christ. These men were missing that, right? They were rejecting that Jesus was the Messiah, or they had rejected that. But Paul opened up the scriptures, what they would have agreed on, the Old Testament scriptures, and shows them how all of that points to the kingdom of God, the ultimate coming of Jesus, that he is what the prophets had pointed to. And so he is just becoming a faithful witness. He just shares the gospel any opportunity that he has. Even though the Jewish people had rejected him, even though the Jewish people had pursued him and tried to get him killed and to stop what he was doing, Paul continued to be faithful in sharing the gospel. He didn't let those bad situations stop him from what he was doing. He just continued to proclaim the gospel. He loved the Jews. That's why he wanted them to come to know Jesus. He didn't hate them. He wanted to share the gospel so that they could come to know him. Remember, he said earlier, just a few chapters back, he said, I want you to be just like me except for these chains. And so Paul was faithful, man, to share the gospel. And so that's what we're called to do. The Great Commission says to go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them all that Jesus has commanded. And so that's what we're called to do today, to have the story continue. What Paul started, or what God started through Paul and through the apostles, he wants us to continue to do today, to be faithful witnesses. I mean, have you ever thought about, why doesn't God just take us home when we get saved? Like, I'll be honest with you, it seemed like life would be a little bit easier if he would do that. But he doesn't. Why? Because he needs witnesses here to tell others and point them to Christ. Aren't you glad that there were witnesses that shared the gospel with you? And so the question is, are we being faithful witnesses here while we wait for his return? Because that's what God has called us to do. And so Paul took every opportunity to do that. David Brainerd, who was a missionary to the American Indians in the 18th century, And he only lived to 29. He was sick a lot, but he stayed on the mission field and ministering to those American Indians. But he died at 29 because he was sick a lot. But listen to what he said. He said, "We should always look upon ourselves as God's servants placed in God's world to do God's work." Do we see ourselves that way? Do we pursue our desires, our happiness, our fulfillment, our goals, our bucket list? Like, do we focus on the things that we want to do? Or do we realize that we are God's servant here in God's world to do God's work? Because that's what he's put us here to do. If God has changed your life and he's changed my life, then what are we doing to continue his work today? And the first way that we can do that is by being faithful witnesses. See, in 2020, man, it's been a year, right? And there are people that are looking for hope. There's not a lot going around, but we have the message of hope, the true message of hope, that God sent his son to the earth to live a perfect life, to die and to pay for our sins. Are we going and proclaiming that? And that he died and he rose again and he's coming again. We have a message of hope. People need that every year, but I think this year people really need to hear that. So are we being faithful witnesses? So we've seen what Paul talked about. Now we see how he did it. Look again at verse 23. It said, "And when they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. And from morning till evening he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets." So first we say we need to be faithful witnesses. Secondly, we need to have patient proclamation. We need to have patient proclamation. Notice what it says. It says from morning till evening. Paul didn't just give them a 2-minute presentation. He didn't even give them just a 30-minute lecture. It says from morning till evening, he opened the scriptures and talked to them about Jesus. He was very patient and he was very thorough in what he did. And notice there's three verbs that Luke uses here. First, it says he expounded to them or explained to them. There are facts about God, about Jesus, about the prophecies. There are facts that need to be explained. There are things that we need to know. And so Paul, again, being a student of Scripture, he explained those. All the things that they had missed, he's trying to connect the dots for them. And he's saying, remember this prophecy? Yeah, Jesus fulfilled that. Remember when this was written? Yeah, Jesus fulfilled that. And so he had to explain that to show them, hey, this is what this means. This is why this matters. And so there are things that we have to be able to explain from Scripture. And my question to you is, are you in the Scripture so that you can learn? So that you can explain? I think a lot of times we get intimidated by Scripture. And so one of the reasons that we don't evangelize is because we think, well, what if I'm asked a question that I don't know the answer to? And I'll just tell you right now, there's going to be questions that you probably can't answer. It's probably going to happen. But the question is what are you doing today to try to become a student of Scripture so that there's something that you can learn, so that there's something that you can explain? You don't have to be a scholar. You just need to spend time in the Word so that you can explain it. And so notice Paul expounded, he explained. Secondly, it says that he was testifying to the kingdom of God. So we went from facts, because there are facts about the gospel, there are facts about Jesus that we need to be able to explain, but it's not just facts. He says, testifying to the kingdom of God. There's a new reality that we need to talk about. That we went from dead in sin to new life in Christ. That we went from an enemy of God to a child of God. That we live now in the kingdom of God. And there's parts of the kingdom that, yes, we get to enjoy. There's other parts that are coming when Jesus returns. But we need to talk about that new reality of what God is doing in us. And Paul certainly had that story, right? He went from a persecutor to an apostle. And so he testified to what it means to be in the kingdom of God. And so if God has changed your life, then you have a story of what he's doing and what it means to be part of the kingdom. So we have facts that we can explain. We also have a personal testimony and a new reality that we live in. But thirdly, look at what it says. It says, "And trying to convince them about Jesus from both the law of Moses and from the prophets. And so here's the plea. This is a passionate plea. He's making an argument in a sense of saying, hey, I'm trying to convince you. Because again, it's not just facts, it's not just personal, but there's an emotional plea that he's making to them because he realizes it's life or death. He knows that these men that he's looking at, they're going to spend eternity somewhere. The question is what will they do with Jesus? And so he's trying to convince them or persuade them to understand that what they have really been studying, it really looks forward to Jesus. And if they continue to reject Jesus, then guess what? They're going to live eternally separated from God. So what we see here is that Paul is being very patient in what he's doing, but he's making sure to make the plea. And so that's what we're called to do, is to patiently proclaim the word of God. It's not just we put it out there once and if they reject it, then we give up. Because Paul never gives up. Think about all the Jewish people that he has witnessed to. Every time he went to a new town, if they had a synagogue, he was there. Even though these Jewish men have followed him and pursued him, he's still witnessing to these Jewish men because he wants them to know Christ. And so Paul was very patient and very thorough in what he was doing. But Paul didn't hold back on the bad news. Paul was trying to convince them because he knew that if they died, they were going to live separated, or they would, for all eternity, they would be separated from God. And so for us, we have to understand that everybody we look at, they're going to spend eternity somewhere. And can we love them enough to say, you're dying or dead in your sin, and if you don't follow Jesus, if you don't give your life to him, then you're going to live eternally separated from God in eternal punishment because you rejected him. And so God loves them enough that he wants us to proclaim that to them. Because see, here's the thing. We have to talk about the bad news because it's the bad news that makes the good news so sweet. It's the bad news that gets us to the truth and the miracle and the life that is the good news. And so we have to talk about both, but we have to patiently do that. And so it was Paul's patience, it was because he was a faithful witness that caused him to be patient, because he wanted that gospel to go to everyone. But here's the thing, we can do that faithfully, but guess what? We can't make people believe. Because look at the response that Paul gets in verse 24. It says, and some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. This group, the same people heard Paul's message, and yet some believed and some were not. Some were convinced, some were not. See, it's not up to us to make people believe. That's only a work of God. What we're called to do is to be obedient and to be patient and to just put it out there. And so will we be faithful witnesses who patiently proclaim? See, Wayne Gretzky, the hockey player, has this famous quote. He said, you miss 100% of the shots you never take. Well, I think we could adapt that and say, you'll never lead anyone to Christ that you never share the gospel with. It's just not going to happen. And so will we be faithful witnesses who patiently proclaim? Because again, it's not up to us to make them believe. It's just us. It's up to us to be obedient. And think about that. God wants to use us. Fallen, infallible people that we are, fallible people that we are, God wants to use us to share his gospel. What a great opportunity, and what a sobering opportunity, right? That God would call us to do that. But will you and I, will we be faithful witnesses who proclaim? And so now we see that Paul was a faithful witness. He patiently proclaimed, and now we see why he was so patient. Look at verse 25. It says, in disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made the statement, the Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive, for this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and turn, I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. So thirdly here, we see the reason why Paul was so patient in his proclamation is, number three, he saw the gospel as an open invitation. He wanted the gospel to be an open invitation. So what he's saying here is that as he's explained the gospel to them, these men have listened, some were convinced, some were not. Then he says something that now they turn and walk away. And what he says to them is that the Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers. Now remember, at the beginning he was very inclusive. Hey, I'm with you, we're on the same side. But now he says the Holy Spirit said this to your fathers, not to my father, but to your fathers. And what does he say to them? Through the prophet Isaiah, this is quoting Isaiah chapter 6, and he says, these people, talking about the Jewish people, they hear, but they don't understand. They see, but they don't believe. He says, they have turned and rejected. They have seen all that God has done through history, through the scriptures, through their ancestors. They have seen, and yet they don't understand. They've rejected. They're staying and remaining in their unbelief. And so God is saying there's reaching a point where he's going to say, you know what? They are not going to listen. I'm going to turn and go to the Gentiles now. And so Paul, again, he didn't hate the Jewish people. He loved them. He was trying to preach the gospel to them. But now because he has said this and he says, hey, what God said through the Spirit is true. You guys have rejected. Now the Gentiles are going to listen. And so these men, they say, that's a line too far. We're walking away. They're turning away. They're rejecting because they thought that what God had done was only for them. But Paul says, no. The gospel is open to everybody. Paul understood it was an open invitation. It wasn't just for the Jew, but it was also for the Gentile. It was for the rich and the poor, the young and the old, the man and the woman, the slave and the free. Paul's burden was that the gospel was for all because God wanted to save all. Doesn't mean that everybody's going to get saved. But Paul saw it as, hey, I'm going to put it out there because we want to share it with all because we want all to come to know Christ. And so Paul believed in an open invitation. And so he shares this and these men say, okay, that's it. We're not listening anymore. Why? Because they just continue to reject the truth. And so we may not understand the cultural distinction of Jew and Gentile today. That's kind of not anything in our culture that we would understand. But we could adapt it to our culture and we could say, you know, the gospel is for the liberal and the conservative. It's for the heterosexual and the homosexual. It's for the Muslim and the Southern Baptist. It's for anybody of any color, of any age, of any socioeconomic level. The gospel should be for everyone. We need to be able to see that the gospel, that there's no one who's beyond the reach of God's salvation. There's no one beyond God's grace. And so we, to continue the work that God is doing today, we have to be able to share the gospel with everyone and see that everybody needs God's grace and can receive God's grace if they believe. And so we shouldn't be picking and choosing who we share it with. We should say everybody needs to know Christ. Because we have to get to the point where we don't label people by our differences. And I know that that's very easy to do in this world today because we kind of identify people that way. We think about, well, they're on this side or they're on that side, and there's so much division in the world. But we need to come to the point where we recognize that everyone, every single person is made in the image of God. And every single person is going to spend eternity somewhere. The question is what they do with Jesus is what matters. And what are we doing to get that question to them so that God can work in their heart and change their lives so that they can spend an eternity with him? That's the question. That's the burden that you and I should have. We should be faithful witnesses who patiently proclaim because we want an open invitation to everyone. Because it's only the gospel that can save us. But it's also the gospel that unites us. Because everyone is made in the image of God, the gospel can unite us, brothers and sisters, around the world. See, right now there's people around the world who are that are worshiping in a way that looks very different than us. I mean, right now we're in an empty room, right, talking to a camera, but around the world there's people that are probably worshiping outside, under a tree. Or they're sitting in just a small room with four walls and maybe a roof over it and a dirt floor, but they're worshiping. There might even be believers somewhere that are in a basement or a closet somewhere, and they're having to whisper and pray and sing quietly because they can't be found out, or they'll be arrested, or maybe even just disappear. There's people right now that are worshiping in huge buildings with all these lights and screens, and there's people that are worshiping in places that have no running water or electricity. See, none of that matters. What matters is the proclamation of the word. That's what unites us around the world, brothers and sisters. It's not about what your worship service looks like, what your musical style is, even what language you're in. What matters is the word of God and the spirit of God. And so we need to share Jesus with them. See, here's the thing. I think most of us conservative Christians probably know, okay, I need to share the gospel. I think if we were to take a poll, you would say, yes, I know that I'm supposed to share the gospel. The problem is statistics show that only a few percent do. And so a lot of times we live kind of defeated and guilty, feeling guilty because we don't do it. And so we try to muster up the strength and say, okay, I need to do this. I want to do it. And then we get afraid or whatever, or we just get distracted and we don't do it. And so then we live in guilt and shame. I have a professor that said this, and I think he's right. He said, our goal should not be, okay, I need to be more evangelistic. Because a lot of times that's just difficult to do. Our goal should be, I want to be on fire for God. Because if God sets my heart on fire and I'm pursuing him and I'm seeking to honor and love and obey and worship him, then guess what? Evangelism will come out of that naturally. See, I don't think Paul woke up and said, okay, am I going to be evangelistic today? I don't think that's what Paul did. I think Paul was so on fire for God that then his boldness came from that. It came from his connection and his relationship with God. So when he shared the gospel, it's just because he loved God so much that he wanted to tell other people about it. It was just natural. So maybe as we reach the end of 2020 and looking at 2021, maybe our prayer should not be to read our Bible more, pray more, share the gospel more, love others, serve more, whatever it may be. Maybe we need to first get back to our first love and say, God, set my heart on fire for you, because then all the other things will come out of that naturally. It's not then something that we force ourselves to do. It's something that the Spirit empowers and drives us to do, because that's what Paul did. He was fueled by that. And the reason he was fueled by that is because of what we see in number 4. Look at how this wraps up now in verse 30. It says, he lived there for 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So what Paul was fueled by was knowing that number 4, he had an unstoppable mission. The kingdom of God, what God was doing in and through him, that is an unstoppable mission. And so look at what Paul said. I think this is interesting. It says he lived there in house arrest for 2 whole years at his own expense. So imagine that. You're put in house arrest. You have to go travel to Rome to try to save your life, to go before Caesar. And you're put in house arrest and you're chained to a soldier. But then they say, okay, but you got to pay your own expenses. You got to pay your own rent, your own food, whatever, all the utilities. You've got to pay for all that, and you're in house arrest. But notice Paul didn't complain. He said he welcomed all who came to him. He was just glad to be there. We've already seen what he said in Philippians. He said this was actually to further the gospel. This was a good thing. And so during this time, during these 2 years, Paul didn't just sit on his hands. He didn't just say, well, hey, now I'm in house arrest. I can't go anywhere. So you know what? I'll just wait. Somebody else will serve. Somebody else will minister to people. Somebody else will make disciples. Somebody else will preach the gospel. Because I'm here. There's nothing I can do. That's not what he did. During these During these 2 years of house arrest, we know that he wrote the book, the letter of to the Ephesians, to the Colossians, to the Philippians. He met Onesimus, so he also wrote the letter to Philemon about Onesimus. We know that he welcomed people. We know that Mark and Luke and Tychius and Epaphroditus, they all came to visit him. And he ministered to them and helped them and sent out more letters through them. But we know about those four specifically. But Paul just continued to share the gospel. Because here's what Paul knew. Paul knew that he was bound, but the word was not bound. And he said that in 2 Timothy, which was actually written the second time that he was arrested. But he knew that just because he couldn't go anywhere didn't mean that the gospel couldn't go somewhere. So he wrote letters. People came to him. He continued to share the gospel because he knew that what God was doing was unstoppable. Just because he was in house arrest didn't mean that God was going to stop using him. Didn't mean that the gospel wasn't going to continue to get out. Didn't mean that he was finished with Paul or that he didn't have anything for him to do. See, if you think about it, Paul's situation and location had changed. But Paul said, my ministry has not. Paul didn't stop. They say that pollen, when pollen is made, of course it starts in a very localized place. Plants produce that each year. And then of course insects pick it up, the wind picks it up, the water and rain can pick it up. And pollen then just spreads. So it begins in one little plant, and then it can just spread literally all over the world, to the point that scientists have actually found pollen in Antarctica. In Antarctica, where it can be a negative 100 degrees. It's so barren and so cold that nothing can live there. However, they have found pollen there because the wind and the water and the oceans pick it up and carry it around the world. They found it in the highest mountains and in the farthest lands. Because once it starts and spreads, it can spread around the world. Well, that's what the gospel did. It started in one little localized place, and now it is spreading throughout the world. Because it is unstoppable. See, Paul understood, man, his situation had changed, but the mission had not. Does that sound familiar? Here we are in 2020. Living in a completely different society, or what seems like a different society, than how this year started. Right? I mean, again, when we started this back in January, we had no idea what was going to happen this year. However, the gospel continues to move on. Just because our situation has changed doesn't mean God has stopped working. Even some temporary restrictions and some different ways that we might have to worship for a little while, that doesn't stop the gospel furthering. Just because I'm here in this room and you're not, you're having to watch this online and you're not in the room with me, the gospel is still spreading. And I think we could even see that the ministry of this church has spread just through online streaming. We see people from states away watching us each week. And the reason for that is because the gospel cannot be stopped. Because God himself cannot be stopped. And so it's easy for us to start to think, man, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? And I don't know, because I never could have predicted what's happened just this year. But here's what I do know. For 2,000 years, there have been countries and rulers and dictators and kings and governments that have tried to stop the gospel. And guess what? They never have, because they never will. Because God himself cannot be stopped. Jesus told us that. The gates of Hades cannot stop the church. So why do we fear and why do we fret? And why do we want to believe that, hey, well, there's just nothing we can do right now? Because the gospel will not be stopped, because the mission of God and the kingdom of God cannot be stopped. That's why I wanted to show that Lottie Moon video today. First, so you could see that ministry there, but think about it. Here's a missionary that can't show his face. He's in East Asia. If his face gets out, that video gets out with his face on it, he could be in a lot of trouble. Certainly his church could be in a lot of trouble. He may be killed. So he's got to do that in secret, because that government doesn't want him or the gospel there. But guess what? It's there, and it's spreading. And God is doing a work even if the government doesn't want it there. So guess what? That means for us that we don't have to worry and fear about what's going to happen here. Yes, things may look different. Things may, there's things that we might have to make adjustments to. But the gospel will continue because it cannot be stopped. It is unstoppable. But here's the thing. Notice the last word of this book. It says that he proclaimed the kingdom of God in teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Now notice, I think we like to change the wording there and say it went without trouble. But that's not what it says. I think if we look at Acts, we can see, oh man, there's a lot of trouble. They had a lot of trouble. Paul himself is in is in house arrest. There was a lot of trouble. But that's not what it says. Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. He said, the world's going to hate, the world hate me, so it's going to hate you. He says, blessed are you who are persecuted for my name's sake. See, Jesus said there's going to be trouble. We shouldn't believe and believe, be lulled into sleep to think, oh, well, you know, it's not going to be trouble. The promise is that it's going to be without hindrance. So we may run into trouble sometime, but we're called to be faithful witnesses who patiently proclaim and make an open invitation because the mission itself is unstoppable. So don't ever think that this is ever going to happen without trouble. The promise is that it's going to happen without hindrance. That's what the Spirit of God is going to continue to do through his people. It's what he's done through the ages, and that's what he's going to continue to do through you and me if we're faithful and obedient. But see, you might be sitting there thinking, well, you know, I'm just an average, normal, everyday person. Like, what's God going to do with me? And see, I would say, well, you're exactly who God wants to use. Because if you remember back in Acts, in one of the first times that they're brought before the government, the people said, hey, we just noticed they're just average, everyday, normal people. That's what they saw about them. Because see, God wants to use normal, everyday, average people, but then he puts his Spirit in them, and it's the Spirit that does the work in and through those believers. See, God's not looking for superheroes. He's just looking for people that are willing to be obedient to him. Because the same Spirit that lived in Paul and lived in Peter and lived in the apostles lives in you and me. Do you know that? Do you, like, live that way? That the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and the same Spirit that lived in Paul and Peter and John Calvin and Martin Luther and Charles Wesley and Billy Graham, and we could just name Charles Spurgeon, we could just continue to name them, the same Spirit that lived in those men live in you and me. And the Spirit has not stopped working. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is like the theme verse for this book. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And God continues that story through you and me today because the Spirit, that same Spirit that gave them power, is the same Spirit that lives in us today. And so J.D. Greer said this way. He said, the gospel didn't advance in the early church through professional Christians and expert pastors. The gospel spread by the power of God working in and through the lives of normal people. Gospel advancement happens when ordinary people are empowered by the Spirit of God and march towards the world demonstrating the generosity of Jesus, the forgiveness available through his cross, and the eternal hope of his coming kingdom. So my question to you is will you be faithful and obedient and allow God to continue the story through you and through me today? Will we continue and allow that same Spirit to work in and through us so that God can continue his story until Jesus returns, whenever that is? We're just called to be faithful and obedient today. Will you be a faithful witness who patiently proclaims the gospel as an open invitation in the unstoppable mission of God? Will you do that? And know that whatever God is doing, he cannot be stopped. It cannot. It's been tried for 2,000 years, and nobody's done it yet. So guess what? I don't think anybody coming on the scene can do it either. So you know what we do? We just do what Paul did. Paul wasn't a revolutionary. He wasn't a warrior. He wasn't trying to gather people to go take down Rome. What did he do? He just shared the gospel and loved people and served them. And that is what changes lives. That's what changes communities. That's what changes nations. And that's what changes the world. When ordinary, average people just say, you know what? I'm just going to be faithful and share the gospel to people and allow the Spirit of God to work. Because he has way more power, and he is the one who can change hearts, and he's the one who can bring change that will be worldwide, that nobody will ever be able to stamp out. So will you and I continue, allow him to continue that story through you and me today and each and every day? How do you need to respond today? I pray that you would follow as the Spirit leads. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this day and this opportunity, and God, this word that you have given us as we've seen your Spirit work through this book, God. And so I pray that we would be faithful people, that this would be our missionary field. We wouldn't think about we can only do that overseas, but God, you have planted us here, and you want us to be faithful witnesses for you now in this community. And so, God, I pray that you would stir our hearts to, first of all, be on fire for you, to love you and pursue you and want to obey you and know you. And, God, that love and that desire and that focus and that would fuel our everything else we do. That our evangelism, our personal walk, our service, our giving, our love would all be fueled, God, because of what you've done for us in Christ. And so now, God, we just want to honor and worship and love and know and obey you because of what you've done for us. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to not be distracted. You would give us eyes to see that the people that we come in contact with, God, they're going to spend eternity somewhere. And so I pray that you would help us to show them your love and to share your gospel, God. Tell them our testimony. Point them to what you've done in your word, God, so that they can come to saving faith and a relationship with you. And so, God, as we finish out this year and finish out this book, God, I pray that this would not just be something that we can check off our list, but God, that this would be something that would impact us going forward, because your Spirit would remind us both of what you've done and also what you still want to do. Even in spite of restrictions, even in spite of a pandemic, even in spite of the situation and circumstances that we're in, God, that you are still working and you cannot be stopped. May that be our hope, and may that be our fire, God, to go. And so we thank you for this, God, and we love you and we praise you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So God bless you. I hope that you all had a very Merry Christmas, and we hope that you have a Happy New Year, safe Happy New Year. And just to let you know, for next week, we're also going to be online only, just due to the COVID cases and things that are going on. We just want to have an abundance of caution. But as we said, the gospel can still go out. This is certainly not how we want to do this all the time, but it's something that we can do temporarily, and we can still gather online, and the word can still be preached. But reach out to each other, encourage each other, send emails, send text, make phone calls. I encourage you to stay connected during this time, and pray for each other. And so we love you. God bless you. We hope you have a great week.